And we all had brand new shoes that we have. We're on the Red Cross parcel, and when we were walking from Muhlenberg to Mooseburg, every time we went through a town, people looking at our shoes. These guys, the prisoners of war, they got new shoes.
Were you in the part of the column when the people?
Yes, they only came over once, strafers, and then they come by the second time after they realized and gave us the wing.
Right at that moment.
A lot of guys said that.
Then he almost made it back to the mines.
Mooseburg?
Yeah, after he escaped, after you guys kept on going to Mooseburg. So it was a whole different thing.
Did I tell you what happened when Patton came in to Mooseburg?
Yeah, yeah.
Did I tell you what happened when...
No, no.
Yeah, I think I did, but I'll tell you again. He came in standing in the back of his Jeep with his 245s or whatever they are. And are they going to go ahead? Oh, no, it's blocked. Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Oh, my God. Well, anyhow, he came in. We were all standing around him, and he says, what's the matter? Won't they let you out of here? Because when they liberated us, they took all the German guards away, and they put American guards around.
Right.
And then he says, what's the matter? Won't they let you out of here? And in unison, he said, no. And he says, well, I don't blame him. He says, you're nothing but a bunch of pigs.
Right.
Because of the way we were dressed.
Right.
That's fucking Patton for you. I'm sorry, but that's Patton for you.
Okay, so she's rocking and rolling. You can describe your story to this guy in any way.
Oh, this is on?
Sure.
Oh, all right. Where are we?
Well, we're
saying I joined the Army Air Force in October of 42. Went through basic, all the training, and went overseas in August of 43, I was in August, and to cut a long story short, on my 23rd mission, we were shot down over France, and my navigator was on the ground, and I was on the ground, and he was calling to me. And I went up to him, and he says, a French farmer just went to get some something. He's coming back, and he came back with some wine and some raw eggs that we put a hole in and ate them, and then went to the farm barn. But the navigator was hurt very bad. And they tried to get a French doctor, but they couldn't, so they got a German doctor. And I had hid up in the hayloft while the Germans came in to collect the navigator. And then after that, I was introduced to the underground. And I was, me and my engineer, Hughes, were put in this little room in the back of somebody's house. And we stayed there for a couple of weeks. And then one night, early one night, we were taken and gone downtown and to have our photos taken. And we were on bikes. And we went into the photographer, had our photos taken. And then we came out and we're walking out of town when this big building opens and out comes an onrush of Germans that had just seen a movie. And I brushed up against one of them, and I just kept walking, and he screamed at me, but I just kept walking, and he gave up, so that was the end of that. And then...
You must have been really intimidated.
And then we were shipped out of there in a van. There was eight of us in this van, and the back of the van was tied together from the inside with wire. You couldn't get access to the back of the van unless you were I'm overdoing this, I know, but... Well, anyhow, we get into Paris, and we're in a chalet or something like that, and I thought this is all a setup, because we got to talk, and then we all thought we were going to go back. The next day, we get back in the van, and we're going down this long boulevard, and all of a sudden, we're stopped. And then all we hear outside is, "Rouse, rouse, rouse." So somebody said, "Open it, put that wire off so they can open the door." So they open the door. There's a semicircle of Germans with beep guns, or burp guns, whatever they are. And then we were stood up against the wall. We're all in civilian clothes. And all the French women and men, they're crying because, you know, they didn't know who we were or anything like that. And we thought we were going to get shot right then and there. But we wound up in Friends Prison, which is just outside of Paris. I've seen it in movies, this prison. And we were there for I don't know how long. But and then we get on a train and we went to Frankfurt on the Main. And there I was put in solitary confinement, and I had to go get interviewed by the Germans downstairs. And it was like in a sanctum, these doors opening up. And then finally I get down, open the door, and there's a table and two chairs or three chairs, whatever. And I walked in, I was so nervous, I pissed in my pants. And I sat down, and he says, "Well, you're a Finn, aren't you?" I said, yeah. "How come you're fighting on..." I said, "I was born in America." I said, "I'm an American." And, well, they went on and on and on. They didn't abuse me physically, just mentally. And then, finally, I was turned over to the Luftwaffe. It was like going on vacation, because the rest of the war, I just sat there and waited to be liberated. And... And then the fun started in. We were in Reims, France, waiting to get deloused. And Armstrong saw me on the line. He says, "What the heck are you doing here, George?" I says, "I do." He says, "I went to the S2 officer." He says, "And we got a jeep at our disposal, and we've got to go back to the town of Sedan, which we were in, and find out who betrayed us." I says, "Great." We go back to Sedan, and no return date or anything like that. And then, first we went to Paris to get new uniforms, things like that. And we met up with a P-51 pilot, and the three of us went back to Sedan. And one night we'd throw them a party, next night they'd throw us a party. It was a great time. And then We had to go back, and we went Lucky Strike, Camp Lucky Strike. And who do I meet in Camp Lucky Strike? But Billy Morito.
Sorry.
Morito, my next-door neighbor. So we got a 24-hour pass and went to Paris for 2 weeks. In Paris, every day you're going to stay another day, you had to erase that and put another date on it, because we wanted to eat in the Red Cross restaurant, which they had a three-piece band and everything else. And we had a lot of fun. And we stayed there for 2 weeks. And every other day, I went to the ramp. Returning military personnel gave them my name, rank, and serial number, and how long I was a prisoner, and they gave me $100. Before we left Paris, I was into them for $700, which they never collected. And then we get a train to go to Le Havre. We get out of Le Havre and we're walking up the street. We had no tie on, no chevrons on, and no hat on or nothing. And a jeep comes by and pulls back and he says, "Are you guys GIs?" I says, "Yeah." And then he says, "Well, you come with me." We had to go see the provost marshal, who happened to be a major. And he started reaming us out. But Billy Morito, who was in the 101st Airborne Division, "You son of a bitch, where the hell were you?" He didn't use that fine word. "When we were fighting this damn war. And the major said, get him the hell out of here. And then I met up with Billy Marito's friends, and they were all from the Chicago area. And Billy got sick on the boat, and I used to empty juice cans full of throw up. And when we got to Newport News instead of New York, he had to go to the hospital, and I went on to Chicago with his friends. And we spent 24 beautiful hours in Chicago. Then I came home. That's about the end of my story. My B-17, which was named the Tar Heel Peggy, the pilot was named Gay, and the co-pilot was Gordon. And Armstrong was the bombardier, and I don't know, remember the other guy, the officer, but it was a great experience until I got shot down. Then it wasn't too nice anymore.
Six
bomb group, yeah, that's what I was in. I got there in August 24, and I was in England for seven months. And in our group, if you completed 15 missions, you went to a flak leave, which was a beautiful castle in northern England. And the first day we got into it, it's a big room, oh, tremendous size room. And there's a guy at the piano playing boogie. And I was with my ball turret operator, Nitty from Jersey City. And he got killed. He was one of the guys that were killed in the last raid. But anyhow, we enjoyed it so much that we stayed an extra week. And we got back to we had to go see Colonel Regan when we got back on base. He says, what happened? I says, Nitty lost his overcoat. It took us a week to find, how long as you found it, you know? He's a full-blooded colonel. So that was that.
24 missions?
23rd mission.
23 missions.
I was on my 23rd mission. Well, two more to go and I would have gone home.
Did you get the DFC?
No, you need 25 to get the DFC.
So they owe you one.
Huh?
You owe them one or they owe
I you had an air medal and three oak leaf clusters.
And you were
like four air medals.
Right? You were like 20 years old?
I was 19 when I went 19 in.
19 years old.
Yeah. I enjoyed London. Every time we come back from a mission, that we were debriefed, you know, and then we had this beautiful meal, two cuts of meat, double shot of scotch, and all that stuff. It was just beautiful. And then we'd go to town and get drunk.
So what was the town? Do you remember the town? Did I look it up?
Yeah, it's in the book. Yes. That was another good thing.
Civil service.
Air Force was the next thing to being a civilian. I really do.
Certainly.